I've been enjoying the series on prayer because I've been studying and looking at it, and next week we're going to do another thing on prayer, and I already kind of have the title for that, so it's kind of interesting, I see God putting something together is what I'm trying to say. But we've been doing a series on prayer. A reminder to write a thought down. You got something to write with? Make sure you write one thought down today and go home. And don't just write it down, but when you go home, you can write more than one thought down. But if there's something that is said and you're like, I understand that, I think God's speaking to me, write it down and then take it home and pray about that. And keep your relationship with God going strong. So if you missed last week or any of the messages the last few weeks, if you go to our website, the sermons are there. I saw Joseph posted them, so we're good and we're up to date. So you can always look at the prayer, the series in prayer. I would recommend that you do if you want to just increase your faith about praying and how important it is. I would just encourage you to go to the website and see that. The sermons are there. Does everybody know what our website is? www.hccdonna.org, right? So it's real easy. HCC stands for? Donna, because we're here in the city. .org, so that's very easy. I encourage you to listen to those. They're about 15 minutes, 20 minutes each. Praise the Lord. Can God be persuaded? That was our first week. And when the answer was yes, he can be. You can persuade God. You want to know more? You got to go listen to that. Last week, we answered the question why prayer works. So, yes, God can be persuaded by you and your petition. Number two, why does prayer work? Because prayer activates faith, obedience, and humility. Amen. Those are powerful things. Faith pleases God. Obedience brings great success in one's life when you're obedient to God. And the third one is humility. What does the Bible say about humility? In order to be great in God's kingdom, you got to be humble, right? You got to be a servant in humility. Totally dependent on God. So we've studied that. So today, the Bible is clear that God wants us to pray and pray often. Without ceasing, consistently. And there is an impact when we pray. So what I want to talk to you today is prayer part three. Impact of prayer. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. Genesis, that's easy one to find. So if you just go to the very first book in the Bible, you're there, right? Yay. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great on the earth, and that every imagination of thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, that it grieved him at his heart. It got so bad on the earth, right? During Noah's time. It got so bad on the earth. There was such wickedness. Nobody was crying out to God. It was just wickedness and darkness and evil and murder and just all that darkness and evil. It was at that point when God, the creator of us all, was like, what did I do? this is horrible. I'm going to have to take care of this, because God and sin do not mix. Amen? They don't mix. And it repented the Lord that he had made man. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. The whole world was wicked, except verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Noah walked with God and he talked with God. And Noah had a relationship with God. having a good relationship with God, with the creator of all the universe, is good. It impacts circumstances around you in a positive way. When God's on your side, you're going to be okay. Amen. Amen? I didn't say everything was going to work out exactly how you thought. But you're going to be okay if God's with you and you're with Him. The best way to show the impact of prayer, what is the impact of prayer? When you pray, what impact does that make? The best way to show the impact of prayer is to first show what happens if we all stop praying. If everyone on earth stopped praying, God's judgment will fall on the earth. Because the wages of sin is death. It's like a math formula, right? Wages of sin equals death. See, God's not a liar. God's righteousness. God and darkness and sin, they don't mix. The only reason that we have access to God is because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The only reason, because our sin is, it makes us guilty. The way we communicate with God today is through prayer. Just like a cell phone is a tool we use to communicate with other people, prayer is a tool we use to communicate to God. How would you be today without your cell phone? You'd be disconnected, right? From the news, from the Facebook postings, from the all the information coming in, right? That's communication. our tool to talk to God, to pray to God, is prayer. If you can imagine living without your phone, that's how you should imagine living without prayer, right? And that's not even close to a comparison. But it gives you an idea, right? Take your phone away for a week. See how you do. Right? The only reason Billy Graham said this. Let me quote Billy Graham. Billy Graham is quoted as saying, prayer is simply talking to God. When you begin to talk to God, there is an impact. Amen. When you stop talking to God, there is an impact. The best way to show it is to show you what happens when we all stop praying. God's judgment will fall. The only reason that we didn't die when we sinned was because of God's grace and mercy. Amen. Because the wages of sin is death. But God in His mercy, you know, the Bible says that it is God's will that all come to repentance. God's just waiting for His people to desire change. And I saw, you know, a lot of you today just like, I want to be free. I want to be changed. I want freedom. I want God to live, to be first, to move in my life. That's awesome. It just gives me chills thinking about you wanting more than anything else God in your life. That makes me happy. I don't know about you. That gives me joy. In Romans 6:23, turn there real quick. In Romans 6:23, I just wanted to show you, I'm not making this up. It's in the Word. For the wages of sin is death. Right? I didn't just make that up. This is the wages of sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as I was saying, the only reason we didn't die, the moment we sinned, the moment you lied about eating that cookie. Remember that when you were 2 years old? Did you eat the cookie? You got the crumbs all over. No. What's that on your... Oh, everyone had that moment, right? Or was it just me? No. The reason we didn't die when we lied and we sinned was because it is God's gift to us through Jesus Christ to have eternal life. We have hope. So once you get that, accept it, receive it, take it, get this salvation and run with it. Because you don't know how many chances you get. And we can't tell God, God, give me 40 chances or give me, we don't know, right? No one knows the day or the hour. You're not promised tomorrow because the truth is, after the first sin, it's too late. Only His mercy and grace and His love for us. Amen. And His patience. How many of you are just so thankful for God's patience? Because you've done a few things that you just need God. Yes, amen. Raise up two hands. Your legs. No. We know He's just so good and He's patient. And then once we get it and we understand it and we receive it, it's like a gift, like a treasure. I have eternal life. It's just a beautiful thing. In Genesis 6, if you turn back to Genesis, I hope you didn't leave that. But anyway, it's easy to find. Genesis 6, chapter 10, verse 14. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for all the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within the wind and without with the pitch. So God's destroying the earth because of its wickedness. But there's one man that has a relationship with God, and he's going to be saved by the ark. And you know the story, right? Noah and the ark. He builds it. They're making fun of him, and he's ready to go. And the rains do come, and the door is shut by God supernaturally. And that's it. The flood comes. Because of darkness, because of wickedness, God's judgment was coming to the earth. But there was one man that trusted and believed God's righteousness. And because Noah prayed and he walked with God, him and his family would be spared. The impact of prayer was this. What is the impact of prayer? It is this. Supernatural intervention. Amen. I'll say it again, because it's so true. And it's hard for us to put our minds around it. The impact of prayer is supernatural intervention by God. What happened here in Noah's story is that God supernaturally intervened to save Noah from sin and darkness. Because you know those people that were doing that were eventually going to kill Noah. And God said no. I'm sure the reason God did this is to save Noah from that wickedness. And he said, it's time to act. I'm going to protect my children, my child that's obedient to me. So the impact of prayer, you can write this down, is supernatural intervention. So God supernaturally moved on the earth to save Noah. Lesson learned for your life. The impact of your prayers in your situation today is that God will supernaturally intervene on your behalf. Do you believe that? The result and the impact of your prayers is going to be a supernatural intervention by God. Amen. That's big. If you really got that and you're really like, yeah, I believe that, you wouldn't stop praying. Amen? It's one thing to say it by belief. It's another thing to begin to live your life that way. We really believe that when we prayed, the impact was God's going to start moving on my behalf. If we really, really believe that, you would not miss an opportunity to pray. Amen? Wow, I'm just getting quiet. Okay. You got to let that sink down into your heart. Prayer does work. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man. And what's a righteous man? It's someone who's forgiven, right? Someone who's surrendered their life to God. Someone who is not perfect, but is willing to be perfected. Willing to let God lead them. Willing to come to the altar and repent. Willing, right? Perfection is not what God's looking for. He's looking for people willing to be perfected. The only reason we can be called righteous is not because of our own works, but because we trust in Jesus Christ's blood to cleanse us from our sins. And that makes us righteous. So everyone in this place, if you are being obedient and doing your best to live for Him, you're righteous. You're right standing before God. So your prayers, the Bible says, the prayer of the righteous are powerful and effective. Amen. The impact of your prayers for your situation today is that God will supernaturally move on your behalf, just like He supernaturally moved for Noah. Noah was in deep, deep trouble. And I don't even think Noah knew it, right? So he built an ark. God saved him. The impact of prayer will be a supernatural intervention of God on your behalf. Don't let time, this is important. So we all said, yes, we believe. When we pray, God's going to intervene on our behalf supernaturally. Do not let time ever discourage you from that truth. Until your last breath on this earth, don't ever doubt that. Trust. Right? Love that word. Where is it? Right there. Trust. Don't let time discourage you. God's timing, trust it. Believe it. God will do what He says He'll do. Amen? Amen. Don't let time discourage you from the truth that when you pray, the impact is He will intervene supernaturally for you. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. God is good. All the time. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then they return. This is after Jesus left. He was crucified, rose from the dead, talked to the disciples, talked to the people, told them, look, you guys are going to go and wait. And then things are going to happen and the Holy Spirit's going to come and you're going to just trust me. He said, go and wait. I can't explain it all to you right now. Just go wait. And he left. And he left into the heavens. And the angel said, just like you saw Jesus leave, He'll be back one day. And that was it. Jesus left to sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. Then they return unto Jerusalem after that. And they waited there at Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room. They were abode with Peter and James and John, all the disciples. And these all continued with one accord, praying and supplication with women and Mary and mother of Jesus with His brethren. So they go into this upper room and they begin to... What else could they do, right? Jesus is gone. They just began to pray. They just began to pray. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. This is what happens. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. And it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And as Spirit gave them utterance, they began to glorify and to be bold. All the things described in the book of Acts. They were empowered with this power and confidence that didn't come from this earth. They were empowered supernaturally to be anointed. When they said Jesus loves you, it impacted people because it wasn't their words. It was the power of God speaking through them. Do you know that you have that very same power? Amen. You know that if you begin to read your Bible and you pray and you go to church and you just start, you know, and maybe you'll mess up every now and then, but you're like, Lord, help me. I'm going to do it better. And you're just going to do this right. You know, you're determined. You begin to live your life like that intentionally. And then you tell somebody, hey, Jesus loves you. There's power in those words. I've heard them. And they change lives. You're like, it's so simple. Jesus loves you, but God loves you. But when it's said through the power and the anointing of God, it changes, literally changes lives. So as the 120, they prayed in the upper room, the impact of their prayer was a supernatural event. What was the impact of their prayer? God supernaturally intervened. This supernatural event is a marker in history that showed us that the power of God will begin to flow through men and women just like you and I. This was the first time without Jesus Christ that men and women were filled by the Holy Spirit and were empowered to go and proclaim the glory and the goodness of Jesus Christ, of God the Father and the Holy Spirit. This was the beginning. It was a marker of this time where you and I are now, that we get empowered by the Holy Spirit. So what was the consequence or what was the impact of prayer? A supernatural intervention. If you are wondering how to access this power this morning, how do I access this power? How do I get the Holy Spirit to give me boldness and overcome sin and darkness? The answer is easy. Pray and beg God to empower you and fill you with this Holy Spirit. It's an easy answer, right? But that heart will be changed. How do you make sure that you're changed? Hunger and thirst. I remember one time I was just, Lord, how do we make sure? I was just praying, Lord, your presence is overwhelming in church and I can feel your presence. And how do we make sure that never, ever leaves? How do you continue to just, and the answer was in his word. If you hunger and you thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. You will be filled. If you are wondering how to access this dramatic supernatural power, pray and beg God to empower you by the Holy Spirit. And not only pray, but be ready to be changed in a dramatic, awesome, life-changing way. We need other Christians to help us. You know, it's good to be with other Christians, right? It's good to have people on the journey with us, right? We're human beings. We like relationships. We like to feel wanted. That's why Facebook's so popular. Everybody wants, I want to like me. How many likes did I get? Oh, I'm so popular. Right? That's why it's so popular. That's our human nature. But the truth, relationships don't get you into heaven. Your mom and your dad or your praying grandma or grandpa or anybody who's praying for you, you're not going to get to heaven because of them. At the end of the day, it's between you and God. You're not going to grow because someone else is teaching you how to grow. You need to listen. At the end of the day, you need to put into practice. And it begins with prayer. It's between you and God. At the end of the day, you got to fight for this. You got to fight to be right with God. Because if you don't fight, the enemy is fighting and he will win. Because the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's a fight. Consider the cost. It is a fight. The impact of prayer is a supernatural intervention from God. Let's go to Acts 12, verse 5. This is the last scripture, and we're going to close with this. Acts 12, verse 5. Peter was kept in prison. The day of Pentecost comes and everybody is so excited. The Holy Spirit is moving, but people are being killed. James was just murdered because of his belief in Jesus Christ. James and Peter was next. Peter was next, and Peter was in prison. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The church got together and they started praying. And I believe when it said without ceasing here, it really meant like without ceasing. Like they just kept praying. They had a prayer chain. They wouldn't stop praying. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night to kill him, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garments from thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but brought he saw the vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that led out to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. So the doors just whoosh, flung open. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter has come to his senses, and when he realized what had happened, he said, Now I know surely that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. You see, what happened here was the people prayed because Peter was about to be killed. And the people just prayed and prayed and prayed. And an angel was sent from heaven to loose Peter from his chains, to open prison doors, to open the gates, and they walked out of the city. The impact of prayer is a supernatural intervention from God. And if you begin to pray, and God needs to send an angel to answer your prayer, He will. Do you believe that? There's something here that we're grasping, I believe, as a church. And that is that prayer is needed more than ever. But nobody's going to pray if they don't really believe God's going to intervene. So, but I believe the Holy Spirit is tugging at our hearts. He knows we love Him. He knows we're here because we want to live right. We want to do better. We want our family to prosper. We want things to go well. He knows your heart. But I kind of picture God the Father up in heaven saying, I want to help you so much, but you don't pray to me. I want to help you so much, but activate faith, activate obedience, activate humility so that I can act on that and just send you an angel and do the work. Because God answers prayer. And we've been studying this. It is clear in God's word that God just doesn't go and do all good things for you because He doesn't want to create spoiled brats. He wants His people to pray. Just like you want your children to work at it, you just don't want to give them everything. They need to work at it. And God's telling His people, pray. Because the impact of prayer is supernatural intervention from God. And in this story, if He had to send the angel, He sent the angel. Even Peter was like, is this a dream? Even Peter was like, you know, I believe, but I mean, this is a bit much. But when he realized it wasn't a dream, then now I know that God just did this. If you need a miracle, if you've been praying, it's time to believe. And don't let time discourage you. It's time to believe. All things are possible. God is waiting. Eloi quoted the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God says, if my people get it, If my people will understand it, if my people who are called by my name, if you turn from the carnal, sinful nature and you turn to me humbly, God says, I will come and I will begin to heal things. We're not just talking physical healing. He will begin to heal the land. He will begin to transform and change supernaturally circumstances for you. But we got to pray. We got to pray. And church, that's why down deep in my heart, this Tuesday night, we're just praying one straight hour. I'm not speaking. No interruptions. We just come in at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, and we're just going to play music or sing music or whatever. And we're just going to pray. Because I believe I'm a fool for Christ. I believe that if we just continue to pray, He will supernaturally intervene for you, for me, for more souls, for people that are lost, for miracles, for healings, for deliverances, for bondages to be broken. Do you believe? And we're just going to continue. And if somebody asks me how long for every Tuesday for one straight hour, we're just going to pray. And sometimes you're like, what do I pray for like a whole hour? Just be in His presence, right? We just believe. And if you want to start catching this vision and this fire, and I only say this not to try to persuade you, but I really believe God's wanting to do some amazing things, but there's a lack of prayer. It's time to pray. It's time to believe. I'm going to ask Michelle to sing a song in closing, but I'm going to challenge you, and I want you to stand in a minute if this applies to you. And I don't want you to take it lightly. I want you to just ask this question deep in your heart. If the Holy Spirit is tugging you to this mindset, you're willing to admit, and you're going to, if you fit this statement, then when I count to three, I want you to stand. If you fit this statement, if you're willing to admit you haven't been praying enough, and that's going to change. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to stand. I want to say it again because I don't want you to take it lightly. I want you to, if you stand, I want you to, like a contract. If you're willing to admit you haven't been praying enough and that's going to change, I want you to stand. One, two, three.